SWAT teams were once the police team of last resort, used in only the most dire of circumstances. Hostage-taking, active shooter situations, domestic terrorism.
But a new report from the American Civil Liberties Union finds that these specialized, heavily armed law enforcement groups are becoming rapidly militarized and used frequently for dealing with nonviolent or drug-related crimes.
And Massachusetts is no exception to this. But the ACLU discovered that Bay State SWAT teams are making a rather exceptional claim that they are organized into private nonprofit organizations and therefore immune from open records requests. That's what Jack Collins, general counsel for the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police Association, told the ACLU when it made several information requests to SWAT teams across the state. Well, joining us now is Cade Crockford. She's the director of the Technology for Liberty Project at the Massachusetts chapter of the ACLU, and she helped compile the group's recent report on SWAT teams in the Bay State. Cade, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, the Mass Chiefs of Police Association made this claim about open records immunity because they say SWAT teams are organized into something called LECs, or Law Enforcement Councils. What are they?
Well, law enforcement councils have been operating in Massachusetts for decades, actually. Basically, it's a way of pooling resources among small police departments so that they can obtain, you know, expensive equipment through federal grants or state grants, as well as to operate regional SWAT teams so that, you know, if it's a bunch of sort of small towns who independently can't maintain their own SWAT teams for a good reason, they've pooled their resources so that they have regional operations that can respond rather nimbly.
Okay, and you're saying that they've been around for decades. Have they, in the past, used this 501c3 status as a reason to not hand over records upon open records requests?
As far as we know, this is the first time this kind of claim has been made by one of the law enforcement councils. Interestingly enough, though, it's not a unique problem in Massachusetts. We also, as part of this report, filed public records requests with something called the New England High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, which is a drug task force that is established by a federal grant program and operated by local police as well. And they made the exact same claim. We're a nonprofit private organization. We don't have to give you any records.
Right. In fact, they said explicitly to you that they are non-governmental.
Correct.
Entirely.
That's correct.
And from your perspective, when they make that claim, is that a justified claim?
It's shocking, frankly. I mean, you know, what people need to realize is that essentially what these organizations are saying is that agencies that are given the power to bust down people's doors in the middle of the night and serve warrants, arrest people, potentially committing violence during that process, do not have to give the public any information about their internal operating procedures, incident reports, things like this. And so it really made it quite difficult for us to find out what's really going on at SWAT teams throughout the state. There's this huge, thick blue wall of silence.
Okay, so we should be clear and say that we reached out to the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police Association that made this claim about the law enforcement councils and their open records immunity, and we also reached out to the Northeastern Massachusetts Law Enforcement Council, one of these groups, for comment on this story. They haven't responded yet for our request for comment. As and when they do, we will be happy to present them to you listeners. But, Cade, I'm seeing here from the ACLU's reporting or findings that 240 of the 351 police departments in the state belong to a law enforcement council. Are they all, just to be clear, are they all claiming this immunity from open records?
So what happened was we sent public records requests, basically identical public records requests, to the five law enforcement councils in Massachusetts. And we, a number of them did not respond. We followed up and received a phone call, as you said, from a man saying that he was representing the law enforcement councils and told us, we do not have to give you these records because we are not subject to public records law as a private entity, you know, an incorporated 501c3.
Were they claiming exemptions? Because I know that police agencies can claim exemptions from such laws for certain types of requests, like internal personnel files or investigation documents that might put suspects or victims at risk.
Simply a blanket refusal.
a blanket refusal. Okay. So let me ask you, so this basically means that any request for the number of raids that a SWAT team has undergone, the types of weapons or materials they use, who they've raided and what the reasons are, none of that's all opaque now.
That's correct. Yes. And it's particularly disturbing because last week when we put this report out, the National ACLU also put out a report about police militarization. And other states were more successful in determining how SWAT teams are actually deployed in their communities. And the records that the ACLU uncovered, the statistics are really alarming. And we expect that there are similar problems here in Massachusetts, but it's very difficult to fix those problems if we don't have the empirical data showing what those problems are.
Now, are you saying that the claims made here in Massachusetts are actually categorically different or more extreme than other SWAT teams across the country?
No. What I'm saying is that, so for example, the national report found that while SWAT teams are justified by police departments, usually for situations, as you said, hostage scenarios, barricade type, you know, active shooter situations, extremely violent, dangerous situations, that's what police often say they need SWAT teams for. But in National's report, through empirical data gathered in other states, we were able to find that of the 800 cases examined, SWAT deployments, 62% of them were actually for drug searches. Mm-hmm. So the vast majority of these raids are being carried out for, you know, nonviolent drug offenses.
Right. And I want to get to a little bit more about what the ACLU nationally found, and especially when it comes to its claim of the militarization of local law enforcement. But I did want to ask you, I'm wondering if the claim that these law enforcement councils are fully exempt from the state's open record laws, is it a problem with their claim or is it a problem with the weakness of Massachusetts' open record laws?
That is not one of the problems with Massachusetts public records law. It is very clear under Massachusetts public records law that these entities are public, that they are acting with public money, that they are public officials executing public duties. So that is clear. We do think, though, that the Massachusetts public records law needs to be seriously strengthened, and there's a proposal before the legislature right now to do that.
Okay, and specifically, just briefly, what particular aspect would you strengthen?
Well, part of the problem with the law as it stands is that there are really no teeth behind it. So if, for example, an organization like the ACLU requests documents from the Boston Police Department about their spying programs, the BPD can effectively ignore that request, and nothing will happen unless we sue them.
Okay. But and so on that point, the ACLU has decided to bring suit against certain of these LECs across the state?
Just the one, the Northeastern one. Massachusetts
okay.
Law Enforcement
and,
Council.
And that's to get the information that you've requested.
It's to get the information. It's also to say very clearly that, you know, agencies acting with public money, executing public duties, cannot claim this exemption going forward.
So let's talk a little bit more about what the ACLU found nationally, since it seems as if it's a little opaque here in Massachusetts due to the problems that you encountered regarding the use of SWAT teams. You said earlier that it was, more than 60% of the documented cases that you were able to examine were SWAT teams used for drug warrants or drug investigations.
Yep.
And it seems as if the ACLU is making the claim that that is an improper use of SWAT teams.
Yes, in most cases. It's not a surprise to many listeners, probably, that the drug war is increasingly unpopular in this country. And yet, at the same time, it is driving a very dangerous militarization process in our local police departments. And we found, both in Massachusetts and at the national level, that this militarization is often coming from the federal government, actually, through funding programs that, you know, big up the drug war, that boost local law enforcement's investment in drug prosecutions and drug raids, like I said before, these task force operations that are networked between federal, state, and local agencies oriented around drug prosecutions and drug busts. And yes, the SWAT situation is incredibly alarming. Mm. Only 7% of those raids that we examined nationwide were for those hostage, you know, barricade, active shooter type situations. Right. That is a tiny percentage.
But what's your response to the counterpoint that people might make that say the drug problem is so deep and pervasive in certain communities that it requires an equally deep and pervasive approach to law enforcement, and that in that case, the federal funding in terms of money and equipment is warranted.
So the drug war has been going on for decades in the United States, and the U.S. government has spent hundreds of billions of dollars. There are millions of people who have been incarcerated as a result of essentially crimes against oneself, you know, using drugs, nonviolent crimes. And it's clear that the drug war has been a massive failure. If the point of the drug war is to get drugs off the streets, to get people to stop doing drugs, then the drug war has failed. Drugs are more available today, more potent and cheaper than they ever have been. And that problem is not going to stop. You know, you can't lock up the drug war. Plenty of police even have acknowledged this, that, you know, you arrest one dealer and 5 minutes later, someone else has taken his place. Mm-hmm. So the real problem is with drug prohibition and with treating drugs as a criminal justice problem instead of a public health problem, which is what it is.
I noticed that in your report, you found that Metrolec, which is the Metropolitan Boston Law Enforcement Council, in 2012 used a Bearcat, which is basically a military vehicle, 26 times, mostly for drug busts, and has applied to the FAA for a drone license. So, and that's in Metro Boston. Is that unusual for law enforcement councils across the state?
You know, the drone license is the only one that we know about, but the deployment of these militarized, you know, the armored personnel carriers, basically the Bearcats in drug raids is not uncommon. This is, again, you know, we've been seeing a trend for the past 10 or 15 years that, you know, weapons and powers and equipment that are given to police departments, sometimes through funding programs from the Department of Homeland Security for, you know, supposedly counterterrorism measures, end up being deployed in the war on drugs because that is where the vast majority of police resources are dedicated.
Mm. Well, once again, we'll have a link to the ACLU's report on SWAT teams across the country and the Massachusetts ACLU's specific findings about the Bay State at our website, radioboston.org. But Cade Crockford is joining us to talk about the fact that SWAT teams across Massachusetts are claiming that they're private, not-for-profit entities and therefore immune from the state's public record laws. She's director of technology for the Liberty Project at the Massachusetts chapter of the ACLU. Always great to have you, Cade. Thanks so much.
Stay with us. Coming up, talking to veterans while helping them transition back to civilian society and what not to say to them. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.